We'd like to speak to you for a little while on the theme of the wanting mind, and then towards the latter period, the insignificance and the great importance of love. But firstly, to attend to the wanting mind. Here we are as human beings making a rather extraordinary journey through this vast field of existence. And we find ourselves as women and men on this earth, kind of planted on the earth with various families and environments, with a wide variety of things which come to us through our senses, but also some habits and tendencies which we seem to be born with. And with all of this activity that is going on inside of ourselves, outside of ourselves, you and I find ourselves making this journey. It's a moment by moment journey. It's an hour by hour, day by day, year by year, decade by decade. And the very movement of our life carries with it some areas of some certainties about things, but also, and as we all know at times, insecurities as well. And all of this, whether you and I like it or not, love it or not, we have to give attention to. Our life and the life of those around us requires our attention. It demands us to look. And sometimes when you and I stop and we look at our inner life, it really can seem sometimes extremely complex. I look at my life and I think, well, what's going on inside of me? There are the range and the varieties of different feelings and emotions. There's my views and opinions. There's my plans and my memories. There's my realities and my projections. There's my wanting and there's my love. There's the stress and the anxiety. There's the happiness and the sense of purpose. All of this goes on day by day for many of us in our inner life. And it can seem an enormous amount to have to look at, to work with, to understand. And sometimes it's necessary and vitally important to try to simplify. And in these teachings here, and the word, incidentally, that we use quite a lot is the word Dharma. And some of you, of course, have been here to Eindhoven previously. Some of you have been in programs that the teachers here have offered elsewhere. Some of you have some familiarity with the Buddhist tradition. And the word Dharma, it's a Sanskrit word, Dharma. The literal meaning, which is perhaps the best meaning, is it means that which gives support. So whenever you and I in life feel we are getting some support, in any way possible, it is a moment of the Dharma, a period of that which gives support. That's what it means. In the tradition of the East, it is often associated with, as meaning, and also a meaning of it, the Buddha's teachings. So the teachings are intended to give us support. So when we are speaking here of the Dharma, that's the reference point. And somewhere, it's a middle way, we might say, between the sometimes orthodoxy of religion and consumerism, that it's a kind of alternative. So in coming back to the theme, I haven't quite forgotten it, is the wanting mind. So sometimes when we look inside of ourselves, rather than just the complexity, to look inside and to question and ask ourselves, what do I want? When do I feel wanting or desire the strongest? What is the impact that it has upon me and it has upon others? Can I bring enough attention, mindfulness and awareness to the wanting mind? Sometimes, of course, this wanting mind shows itself very intensely, and then it's a real challenge to work with. I've got in mind here addiction, strong habits, things which keep coming up, I want, I want, I want, and the kind of pressure and stress that it brings on the inner life. That may show itself, of course, in terms of the wanting a big one, a very big one, wanting to be loved. Another very big one, wanting to be understood. Another big one, wanting to feel satisfied. Alcohol, drugs, food, sex, money, whatever it might be. Sometimes wanting arising for something to be different from the way that it is. And when those kinds of wanting arise, as I said, it can put enormous intensity and pressure. So it's a great responsibility of women and men to really give attention and to really ask ourselves very clearly, what are the times in my life when wanting is strongest and most problematic? What are the times in my life when the wanting is strongest and most problematic? All worry, fear, anxiety, aggression, stress is some problematic relationship with the wanting. Wanting features in it. So this morning, as a small example, I abandoned Lulu's coffee shop, and Rene very kindly drove me up to Eindhoven. And you know, sometimes one just knows. We've been driving for about half an hour out of Tel Aviv. Some of you had this experience. And I turned to her and I said, of course it's Sunday today and probably people are resting. I said, gosh, the drive is going so easy. There are not many cars on the road. And I knew I've been here often enough, as soon as the words came out of the mouth, within 5 minutes, a tortoise would have got here quicker. So that's it. And we sit in the car and we're chatting, and Rene likes to listen to Schubert. Not my cup of tea, I prefer Adele, but anyway, everybody has it, you know, to their own. And so we're listening to some music. In the simple event, there is no problem and no stress. The fact that there is a car in front, within half a meter, and a car behind and a car beside, there's no problem in it whatsoever. This is it. If one is doing the good old Buddhist practice of be here and now, you know, Buddhists are always going on about far too much, then one's just being here and now, and there is no problem. The problem starts with the wanting. And when the problem starts with the wanting, it starts to move inside. And the movement inside of wanting it to be different from what it is generates the pressure. The cars do not make the pressure. It's the wanting. And that, in that wanting, there's something I want to get to somewhere, which is called Ando. And this traffic jam is stopping me. We are regularly in a whole variety of traffic jams. It's a fact, but it's a metaphor. How many things in life that you and I want and events get in the way of the wanting? Life is no picnic. Even on Seido. Some of you are very happy to be away from it, I know. I've been to them, I know what you mean. So, and some love them, you know. Anyway. So just get the balance here. So sometimes there is something which I want. I've got the energy and the vitality and the love which moves in that direction. But the movement of life can occur, just as with the traffic jam, that something gets in the way. Something blocks and stops there. It's a pity when something gets in the way that we lack the wisdom to attend to it. What is a skillful attitude? What is a way to relate to this which is happening, which I want to be different? These situations test our mettle and our wisdom. And sometimes we notice in the unsatisfactory movement of the wanting, it moves through the body. We start feeling tight, restless, agitated, or whatever. But also, it can move, and it moves into speech. And when it moves into speech, the wanting can create pressure. Every voice of anger and aggression, every voice which has ever been said on this earth, has had some form of wanting in it. And the wanting has generated the pressure on the other. I was just talking with a friend of mine who's works, some of you will too, works in social services, which I refer to as the underworld. It's those problematic issues that are going on behind closed doors. The alcohol, the domestic violence, the fear, the drug addictions, and problematic life behind the doors of our cities and towns and villages. And one of the constant and problematic voices is the shouting. Sometimes, of course, it's parents shouting at their kids. And when there's a lot of shouting, I was brought up in a home of a lot of shouting. When there is a lot of shouting, clearly there is a lot of wanting. Wanting the action or the behavior of somebody else to be different. And that pressure of hearing the shouting, whether it's children or adults, has a real impact. It can be frightening. It can be traumatic. It can numb a person. And the person has no way of knowing what's important because they're being shouted at for everything. So there's a movement on inside. It's come out, it's a pressure. The pressure has come to the voice, and the voice is now dumping on somebody else. It's a problem. It's a really serious social, personal problem. We have to find some other ways to communicate with each other with love and clarity. and that requires a huge change. Sometimes the force of the wanting is so strong, coming back to the anger, it not only comes out through the voice, it comes out down through the arm. It comes out through the hands. And in speaking to the same person there, where the partner was shouting, he becoming more and more aggressive, and then he hit her. So the wantings come out through the arm, down through the hand, through the end of the hand, and hit. If that happens, it's time to leave. It's getting dangerous. The force of the wanting to hurt, to harm, has got to a point of real danger. So this looking into this wanting that goes on with us and its movement, sometimes it's in the form of greed. I was unfortunate enough to turn the television on in England the other night, and the film crew were interviewing a consumer whose home was absolutely filled with stuff. Unbelievable. I mean, it was mounted up, even in the bathroom and the toilet. Every single room in the house was full of stuff. And she had a need, she explained, to go shopping, and she had to buy things. And even had loads of things which she'd never even taken the price label off. And then would go on the net. So there is the wanting. There isn't the clarity or the wisdom. She's spending literally thousands of pounds, tens of thousands of shekels every year, and just buying, the need to buy. And this movement, feeling something's underneath the wanting, insecurity, habit, tendencies, we have to look deep, of course. It starts a movement inside, and the movement comes out in speech. It comes out in movement, walking to the shops. It comes out through the voice. It comes out through the hands, let's say aggression or violence. Human beings' task and responsibility, and it's an important one, to see and look at ourselves, where, as I asked before, where is the wanting most problematic in my life? And what am I going to do about it? What's my responsibility? How can I address this? How can I learn to find inner peace in the traffic jam? Inner peace when somebody is acting or saying things which normally would make me very upset and very angry. If I keep going to do the shopping, is it a compensation for something? Am I out of touch with something else? If I've got a real habit, eating too much, drinking too much, spending too much, what am I missing out on? Is there something in my life which needs developing? And if it's developed, then the problematic wanting can go down. That's part of our practice here. It's part of the work of getting to really know ourselves well and clearly. If we look at ourselves and look back to the wanting, and it all sounds grim news today, I know, but I'll get to the love, the better bit in a minute, just hang in. So sometimes with the wanting that happens, when we look at ourselves, sometimes the wanting lands in three areas. And to really know, I want something to start. I want to start a relationship. I want to start a family. I want to start a new job. I want to start a new way of life. I want to start that creative idea and vision that I have to make that happen. I want something to start. The wanting can circulate inside of us for years. There is no guarantee that the wanting becomes an action. We can live miserably, I would say, in wanting, wanting, wanting. And we imagine, with the wanting, if this could happen, I'd be so much happier to meet the perfect person, to start a family in that nightmare. I can say that because I have a family. Sorry, apologies. You know, or if I only I could do this that I want, or whatever. So we want to look at ourselves carefully. Is the wanting, which is most problematic for me, about wanting to start something? Am I just living in that idea and nothing is happening and it's consuming my attention? I'm missing out on so much because I'm wanting this and it's not happening. Sometimes the wanting is for continuity. I want something to stay. I want to stay healthy. I want to stay young. I want to stay thin. I want to stay in this relationship. I want to stay in this job. I want to stay in this house. I want to stay with my friends or whatever it might be. I want something to stay. Life, sometimes it happens. We are blessed. That which we wish to stay does stay. Lovely. And sometimes, it doesn't. It doesn't. There. And because of the uncertainty, sometimes you may have a friend for days, weeks, months, or years. And sometimes one assumes that the friendship will continue. And just speaking with a friend and who had been married for a number of years, or whatever, about 10 years, and I said to her, do you ever see your ex-husband? No, I hadn't seen him. She said, actually, I did. I bumped into him here in Israel. Coincidentally, I went into a shop and I hadn't seen him for years. You know, he'd been married, you know, presumably, and slept in the same bed, made love, do all the intimate things that a man and woman can do together, and she suddenly bumps into him in a shop. I said, how was it? She said, it was incredibly formal. He put his hand out, no smile, and just shook my hand. And that was it. Now, when somebody is very formal with us and just putting their hand out and to shake it, and there's been a long friendship, in my view, that guy is hiding his feelings. I know I'm English. Not too English, I hope, but anyway. So sometimes in the formality, yeah, the wanting, maybe, I'm not saying it is the case for the person, maybe something else, but sometimes in the wanting is to hide the feelings. One sometimes uses the wanting to defend, to protect, to keep out of the public view. We can use wanting to keep away from. I don't want to share. I don't want to be open. And we often use in the psychological world, coming from Jung, who I absolutely loved a bit, so I must say, the word the unconscious. It's a kind of fancy word, really. In my view, it's simple. It means the unspoken. It's the unspoken. And it takes some... coming to love now, I know you're relieved. So it takes some act of love from us to really listen to each other, to really be in touch with ourselves, and to give the opportunity to listen and to share. And this gives the chance for that which is unspoken to be spoken. And it can only happen in the atmosphere of love and trust. As a human being, I find, and perhaps you do as well, that there are some people in our life with whom we can share, who is a friend, who is a partner, who is a lover, who is a family member, who is a therapist. There are people who we can share and make this wonderful, precious movement from the unspoken into the spoken. It's one of the great movements of life. And we know too, there are certain people who we cannot. We cannot speak to, we cannot share the deep feeling with. And that might be right and appropriate and necessary, but it's a tragedy in life if there is nobody. They did a poll in England. I mean, England is kind of repressed anyway, but... And they asked 1,000 people, how many people can you really share what you feel with? Really feel you can really be open with and share? And the figures were... It worked out, funny number, 1.25. I don't know who the 0.25 of the person was, but... So that most people, out of 1,000 people who are asked, most people, when asked and thought about it, roughly could only think of one person they know, who they could really share with. Out of 7 billion. Whoa! We're in crisis. Well, the English anyway. So this ability to look into ourselves deeply, to really notice the wanting mind, is it about beginning something? Is it about keeping or sustaining something? Is the wanting mind about something when it ends? Is it about the beginning? Is it about the middle, so to speak? Or is it about the end? And can we find, when you and I are faced with the fresh beginning, the sustaining of something, or something coming to an end in our life, including our own, can we find a way of relating in which we are not a prisoner to the wanting? Can we find a way of relating to beginning, middle, and endings, and we are not a prisoner to the wanting? And we have to dig deep for that. Quite often, I see in the... I like reading books. Actually, I love reading books. And sometimes some people say, they say to me if I speak, "Oh, Christopher, we can't live without desire. We can't live without wanting. To live is to want. To live is desire." I take a slightly anarchic view, which is the complete opposite. I would say we can't live with wanting. We can't live with desire. It's too problematic. And I say the change and the transformation that comes, can there be, for us, a movement in our life, which is the movement of love, which is free from the pressure of wanting. And sometimes that movement of love in life, its presence is the most beautiful expression that a human being can know. If life is about anything, if it's about anything, it's got to be about love. It's the powerhouse of the human being. It's that which makes us the most authentic. The great women and men on this earth who we greatly appreciate, one of the common factors of the great human being is she and he has lived with the voice of love and has kept true to it no matter what. And sometimes that movement I can see in myself, and I hope you can as well, that sometimes in looking at wanting and looking at love, the sensation, the experience of the two actually is extraordinarily different. The act of love, it has a movement to it, to be creative, to share, to give, to listen. The love of the silence, the love of stillness, the love of nature, the love of sharing, of participating, the love of women and men being together. All these expressions of love, the love of service, the love of kindness, the love of doing things for other people. That movement of love is, as I said, the most precious of all human movements, showing itself through a heart, through mind, through speech, through touch, through activity. Can I, as a human being, look deeply enough to know what is wanting and desire and the problematic aspects in my life, and to know equally what is love and its movement? And our happiness depends and relates to this exploration. Enough from Christopher. Thank you for lending an ear. Right.